Clay, thank you for that message.
Yes.
Somebody came up to me and said, I'm glad I don't have to follow that message. But if we all preach the gospel, we hit the same note.
Yes, sir.
Same note. I'm going to be looking, if you want to go ahead and be turning to 1 Samuel chapter 30. But I want to read a verse of scripture. I was just reading the other day and I ran across it and it just blessed my heart. And I thought about this meeting. In Mark chapter 6, our Lord had sent the disciples out two by two. He'd sent them out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. And they just come back and it tells that John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And it says in Mark 6, verse 7, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. And it was a journey, save a staff, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and put on two coats, and not put on two coats. Here it is, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Is that not what we're doing this evening?
Yes, sir.
And told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And here's what he said. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I pray that's what he lets us do this weekend. He takes us apart with him, and we are able to rest. Oh, to rest. Now, 1 Samuel 30. First Samuel 30. Read verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were all taken. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept, because they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelitess. And David was greatly distressed. And you would have been too.
Yeah.
For the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God.
Amen.
What I want to do is go back and bring us up to this to show you, how did David wind up at this place? Have you ever asked yourself that question, how in the world did I wind up here?
Yeah.
What all happened to bring me to this place? We know that David was chosen of God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was anointed to be king. But there was a long time. There were some things David had to go through before he ever sat upon the throne. And what I see there, he pictures in so many ways our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the high priest, who's able to be felt with the feelings of our infirmities. He was chased. He was hated. He was despised. So if you would turn back with me, I'm going to just show you some verses. Just bear with me as I begin to go back. The more I kept going back, the more I couldn't stop. But there in 1 Samuel 18, verse 12, Saul, who hated David, said he was afraid of David. And why was Saul afraid of David? Because the Lord was with him.
Amen.
And the Lord had departed from Saul. Then look in chapter 19, verse 1. Here's how much Saul hated David. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Do you not see here the animosity that the world has for our Lord? He said, they've hated me and they'll hate you because I'm not of this world and you're not of this world. And they hated him and they despised him. But through all that, God will use these things to make his servant David. Sought to kill him. A couple of times, Saul threw a javelin at him. And as I thought about that years ago, that most kings rule with scepters. And here's how the religious, self-righteous, religious world of our day, this is how they rule, with a javelin. Throwing it at you. And David had to run, and he left, and he left the court. And then I see, as in my Bible, it has headings of all the people who helped David. So, well, it said protected him. Well, first of all, Jonathan protected David. He loved him. Loved him as his own soul, made a covenant with him. He knew David would one day be king, and he said, when you're king, would you remember this covenant that we made? And would you show mercy to my family? And he did.
Yes, sir.
So Jonathan protected him. Then Michal, Saul's daughter, was given to David in marriage. And when Saul tries to go to the house to kill him, she spares him. She protects him. Notice all these things that God uses to protect David. I can tell you this evening, if you're God's, if he redeemed you and bought you, he will protect you in every situation that you go through. Even use a wicked king's daughter. And we find out later she wasn't a believer. She didn't really love David. And Saul, he just did that to try to get to David, because then, you know what he did? He gave Michal to another man. But then another one. Samuel. Old Samuel. The prophet of God. Protected him. Watched over him. David, when he ran from after, when Michal helped him in 1 Samuel 19, verse 18, David fled. Where did he go? He went to the prophet. You know what our Lord does? You know, Clay preached such a blessed message on sanctification. This is it here. He drove him. Through these things that happened, it drove David to God. It drove him to the prophet. He needed direction. What you imagine what's going on in his mind. What am I going to do? I can't go back to Saul anymore. And he goes to Samuel. And he was protected by Samuel. And then he goes in 1 Samuel 21. He goes to Ahimelech, the priest. And you remember, our Lord made reference to this. He said, you remember when David went in to the temple and ate the showbread? That's this account. He went to this priest and he helped David. And he gave David Goliath's sword. But you know what Saul did when Saul found out about it? There was a man there named Doeg the Edomite. And he was one of Saul's chief men. And he went back and he told Saul, he said, that man helped David. You know what Saul did? He killed 85 priests. There was only one priest that survived. And God used that priest to go to David. And he protected him. But then I want to show you something else. Notice verse 10 of chapter 21. Now we're going kindly leading up. All this is leading up. Just bear with me. Bear with me. 1 Samuel 21 verse 10. And David rose and fled that day for fear of Saul. For fear of Saul? For fear of Saul, he fled. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Doesn't that seem odd?
Yeah.
Goliath, where was he from? The Philistine of Gath. David goes to Achish. And the servants of Achish said unto them, now watch this, is not this David the king of the land? Well, David's not king yet, but they know he is. They didn't say Saul was king. They said David's king. Isn't this amazing when even the enemies of God acknowledge it? When Saul and all those should have, and they didn't, hated him. Did they not sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul is leading his thousands, and David is 10,000? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He's afraid of everybody. You ever just been terrified? Just terrified. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrambled on the door of the gate, let his spittle run down upon his beard, and then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see this man is mad. Wherefore then, if you brought him unto me, have I need of mad men, that you have brought this fellow to play the mad men in my presence? So shall this fellow come into my house? Then David, he flees and he has to live in a place called the Cave of Adullam. And then in chapter 23, just bear with me, David goes to a place called Keilah. And he inquires, verse 4, of the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hands. And then David also asked, he said, will Saul come down? He said, yeah. And he said, will these people that David showed mercy, these people that David came, he said, will they deliver me into Saul's hands? He said, yes, they will. Everywhere he went, they hated him. Everywhere. And then in chapter 24, David could have destroyed King Saul. It says God brought a deep sleep on Saul and all of his army. And you know what David does? He walks right with one of his servants. He walks right into the midst of the camp and he takes his spear from him. And he takes his cruse of water. He took his weapon of defense and he took his comfort from him. And he walks out and they never knew David was there. David gets up here on the bank and he starts calling to Saul. And he says, where'd this spear come from? But I'm going to show you what Saul said. Let me find it. Verse chapter 25. I'm sorry, chapter 26, the last verse. I'm sorry, just bear with me. Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also thou shalt still prevail. And if I could be wrong, but I think this is the last time they spoke to each other. So David went on his way. And I want you to watch this. And Saul returned to his place. The last time they meet. And then David, where does he go now? He goes back to Achish. He goes back to the Philistines. Now look in verse 1 of chapter 27. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. That ain't going to happen.
That's right.
But he thinks it is. He said, one day Saul's going to destroy me. There is nothing better for me, nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. You know what David is looking for? He's looking for a little rest. I want to get away from King Saul just as far as I can go, because if I go to the Philistines, he won't come after me. Read on. And David arose And he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maachath, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man in his household, with David and his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, David's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more. David said, "That's exactly what I wanted. He's left me alone." But he's in the Philistines. What I want you to see, do you think God's going to leave him there? And this is where he's at. And then in chapter 28, we see almost the whole chapter records what happened to King Saul. We see David was in, how long did he dwell there? The scripture said 1 year and 4 months, 16 months. What did he do during that time? We know very little. We just see glimpses. But then God records a whole chapter about King Saul. You remember? You know what is getting, so you'll see what's getting ready to happen. The Philistines. Now, David lives in the Philistines, with the Philistines. They're getting ready to go to battle against King Saul. Well, if they go to battle against King Saul, well, what about David? He's in a pickle. Isn't he? And King Saul, he's in a pickle. And he seeks the Lord. And it said in verse 6 of chapter 28, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams," now watch this, "nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Because Samuel is dead. So this is what's playing out. And now in verse 20, chapter 29, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphex in Israel, pitched by a fountain which was in Jezreel. And the Lord of the Philistines passed by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princesses of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews here?" And Achish said unto the princesses of the Philistine, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which had been with me these days for these years, and I found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?" And the princesses of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princesses of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow," talking about David, "return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him." What place had he appointed him? He gave him Ziklag. He said, "Send him back to Ziklag, which thou hast appointed him. Let him go down. Let him not go down with us into the battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men?" He's saying, we don't trust him. But you see here in the providence of God, that God's working it out so David don't have to go. Can you imagine? I can imagine what's going on in David's mind. I didn't plan on this. I was just looking for a place to rest, and now it looks like I may have to go and fight against the children of Israel. What am I to do? Where am I to go? And can you imagine? Now he's going back home to Ziklag, his place of rest. His whole family's there. Don't you know? I can see him. I can see him. Well, I'm glad that's over. I can't wait to get to Ziklag. And it's a 3-day journey. I guarantee David and all of his men, he's got 600 men. They're wore out. They're tired. You can be spiritually exhausted. Mentally. I can see David, he's just wore out. But I can see about the time they get to Ziklag, and one of his men says, "What's that smoke about? That don't look too good." And when they get there, the whole city is burned up. When David stands and when we stand in the midst of Ziklag, when God burns up our Ziklags, and he burned it up. And he's standing there, you can imagine, in the ashes. But you know the encouraging thing? It was what David didn't see. His wives and his children and all the other wives and children are not laying there dead. It's a miracle that these Amalekites did not kill them. It's not because it wasn't in their heart to kill them. As I thought about this and I went back and looked, you remember when God told Saul to go down to this place and kill everybody? Everybody. And Saul, you know how he compromised. He kept the sheep and he kept the king alive. Do you know what people these were? The Amalekites. Isn't that kindly strange? I think when the children of Israel first came out of Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness, the Amalekites came against them. That can picture so many things, but I think it pictures your flesh. Who do you battle more than anything? Your flesh. Why didn't the Amalekites come while David was there? I can see them hiding over in the bushes and just wait until David leaves. And then they come while he's gone. And he comes back and finds the city burned. David is in this mess because of fear. You know, the scripture says God's not given us. Now listen to me. God has not given us the spirit of fear. What do you have to be afraid of? If you're a child of God, what right, what do you have to? Nothing. Nothing. What we see here was David depending upon the arm of the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Confidence in the flesh shows itself by fear.
Yes, sir.
Fear. Why is it as a preacher when we stand, why is it most of the time we should be afraid because of the awesomeness of the task, but we're afraid of making a mess in front of men.
Right.
Just to be honest.
Right.
That's it. Fear. That's where that comes from. That's flesh. What wants rest? Your flesh does. Let me tell you this. As long as we're on this earth, we're not going to have any furloughs.
That's right.
David, first time we see him, he was the son of Jesse. He comes up and defeats the Goliath. He's a man of war. He's not to be laying over in Ziklag. And you know what God did? He burned it up. He burned it up. David was delivered from having to fight with Israel. And he goes back to Ziklag, and the city's burned up. Ziklag, this was the place that was given to David by King Achish, a place he could live away from King Saul. David and his men and all their family lived there. Don't you know he was happy? And I can see him convince himself, says, well, this must be the Lord's will. Everything's going well. Reminds me just like Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah goes down and he pulls out his wallet and buys him a ticket and he gets on a boat and says, well, that was easy. Till God sent the storm.
Yeah, that's right.
Till God sent the storm. And you can imagine there. I know it went through David's mind. Why'd this happen? Why'd this happen? God has a reason. That's his child. And he will not leave him alone. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake him.
Amen.
David was greatly distressed, greatly distressed. But here we have, I think, a turning point in David's life. David had been struggling for a year and 4 months, and now he submits. God had arranged all this to bring him to the end of his scheming and planning, and he's left with nothing. God is breaking David, stripping him of every false hope. He's going to teach him to depend upon him and him alone. He that thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall. Notice that little word, three-letter word, but. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy. But, now you think about all these things that are going on in David's mind. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Someone said this little word, but, this little conjunction word, this means in spite of all that he had done, all the lies that he had told, just like out of the blue, in spite of all that, he encouraged himself. And we know that's God working in him, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. We would have wanted to just crawl off in a hole somewhere, and he didn't. Why? He's thinking about his God. That's what he's thinking about. That's what encouraged him. Let me read you this, what Alexander McLaren said about this. There was only one possession in all the world except his body and the clothes that he stood in that he could call his own at that moment. That's it. Everything else is gone. Everything else was gone. His property was carried off. His home was a smoldering embers. But the Amalekites had not stolen God from him.
Amen.
You may deal with this flesh, but I can tell you this, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. They cannot steal that from you.
Amen.
They couldn't. It's a work in here. That's what it is. It's a work in the heart. That's what God's doing to David. Why do we enjoy reading the Psalms so much? Because of this right here. This man knew what it was like. He knew. Though he could no longer say my house, my city, my possessions, he could say my God. Whatever else we lose, as long as we have him, we are rich.
Amen.
And whatever else we possess, we are poor as long as we don't have him. God is enough.
Amen.
Whatever else may go, the Lord his God was the sufficient portion for this man when he stood as a homeless pauper. He's enough. To encourage this old cold, cold heart. He had lost everything that his heart clung to. His wife, his children, they were captives in the arms of some Amalekite. His house was left to him desolate. His heart was bleeding, but he still had his God. David is reminded of who God was. David had changed, and we change every day. We are up one day and down the next. But David is now looking to his covenant God, the unchanging God. He's not looking to his bravery. He's not looking to his merits. They're all burned up. There's nothing left. And God must keep bringing you to that point. We think even as believers, we think when we sin, we think, well, we can do something to fix this. No, you can't. That's what you was talking about. That everybody believes progressive sanctification. Well, if you just pray enough and read, oh, you can make yourself holy. Well, that's a fairy tale, isn't it? But I can tell you, this is how God works in his people. He will not leave you alone. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's going to put this man on the throne. And our Lord, he suffered. Why did he suffer? He's a merciful and faithful high priest. David's relationship with God had changed, but God's relationship with David never changed. We grow cold and we say, where is that? He's never changed. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I sigh. Why are my winters so long?
Right. That's it.
The only reason David is still alive is God never changes.
Right.
This is what encouraged his heart. I pray God will take this and encourage your heart.
Amen.
You get down because of sin and flesh. Deal with it every day, and you get so discouraged. The word encouraged can be translated strengthened. I thought about in 1 Samuel 23 when Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Wait on the Lord and be courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh.
Sir.
Didn't he? I was preaching a message one time, and as I thought about that, I thought, you know what the thorn in the flesh is? It is the flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everybody's got the thorn, and the thorn is the flesh. But he said, God, take it away. And I wished, and every believer here, if you could have what you would desire, you would wish that God would take away your old flesh and you could serve him and worship him and love him like you could. But he said, you know what? I'm leaving it right there. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know what he said? The old man is going to serve the new man. And that's what we see. He does serve him. He does serve him. David realized now why all this had happened. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When he was at his wit's end, David found encouragement in his God. Listen, Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we art the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the works of thy hands.
Amen.
You know what he's doing? He's molding you, and he's shaping you. And whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the very image of his darling son. No matter what happened to David, no matter what he went through, nothing could separate him from the love of God.
Yeah.
Nothing. David knew he had brought all this upon himself. And what is he to do? Sit around and feel sorry for himself? Can I just be honest with you this evening? I've been times I was just so low and so depressed. All I wanted to do was get in a corner somewhere and hide or crawl up in a bed and pull the covers over your head and just go to sleep and try to forget about it. We're just like Elijah. Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah, tomorrow. This man just stood before all these false prophets. And the next day, he's out there feeling sorry for himself. He said, Lord, why don't you just take me on home? And the Lord came to him and he touched him. And he said, Elijah, rise and eat. And Elijah lays back down and went to sleep. You know, and he needed a little rest. And the Lord let him rest and he touched him a little bit more. And he said, rise and eat, and you're going to go in this meat 40 days' journey. You know what he did? He was strengthened.
Yeah.
You know what David's getting ready to do? And you can imagine, what if he just sits down and just say, well, I'm just tired of it. I'm just fed up with the whole thing. What about his wife and his children?
Yeah.
Like you said, we're concerned for our families. The Amalekites come and they came and took them. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to go get them. And David said, okay, men. And he takes 600 men. And I love his story. You can read the rest of the chapter when you get home. They come to this creek. And 200 of them men were so weak, so weary, they couldn't go on. And David said, you know what he said? Y'all stay here for the stuff. You know why they stayed there? That's the king's stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, they just watching stuff. Listen, it's his stuff. It's all his stuff.
Amen.
It's all the Lord's. And now he's, now you think about this. Now, I just lost 200 men. And he takes 400. And David recovered all.
Amen.
You know what our Lord did?
Amen.
It says in that he was weary with his journey. I'm glad he finished the work.
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't stop. He came and he suffered and he rose from the grave and he recovered all.
Amen.
And brought back the spoil. When they come back, you see them, I can see them, they got all the wagons and they got all the families. Everybody's just tickled to death. One minute they're just so discouraged, now they're tickled to death. And they come back, and you know where them 200 men are at? Right there where he left them.
That's right.
And you know what some of them 400 men said? Well, they didn't go to battle with us. We ain't sharing no spoil. They've said, we're all sharing alike. You may think you can't do much, but if you can just sit there and watch his stuff,
there you go.
They're all rewarded the same. You say, well, I can't preach. I can't do much. Just watch the stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And our David, our Lord, he will recover all. And you know what? When he comes, he's our exceeding great reward.
Yes.
And you know, he will keep teaching you that nothing in this world matters. Nothing! It's just him.
Amen.
Him. Don't you love anything? He said, if you love your father, your mother, your children, anything, even your own life more than me, you can't be my disciple. And he brings you to the place, he'll humble you just like he did Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
He didn't say, how much do you love me? He just said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. I've stood in the ashes. And he would encourage you so hard. And go on and look to him. Amen.
What was it I said a few Sundays ago? If that don't boil your water, your pot's dry. That's good. All right. We are now going to have some refreshments. Everybody that can, hang around and fellowship a little. Rejoice. If you have to leave, take something with you if you want. Before we do, Mason, would you close us in prayer and thank God for the food, please?
Holy and righteous, eternal God, Savior, merciful, full of grace and truth, we have experienced Heavenly Father, the name of thy Holy Son, Christ Jesus, upheld. May it be thy pleasure, Heavenly Father, that we might uphold thy holy name forevermore. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, I guess the women, is everything? We've got to do a little.